Okay, math wizards, here's a story problem for you. Legalized sports betting leaves the U.S. Supreme Court on May 14 and travels due west toward Indiana at a high rate of speed. At precisely the same moment, give or take a few months, a plan to move one of Gary's two riverboat casinos onto the land and another to Terre Haute departs the region, bound for Vigo County. The designated route, though, travels through Indianapolis and there's a scheduled stop at the Indiana State House. So what happens when the two collide? Hi, I'm John Schwanis, and I have no idea what the answer might be, and that's precisely why we're devoting this week's program to a related, equally tough question. Where is gaming reform headed in the final weeks of this year's legislative session? Indiana lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
What if a robotic arm could help disabled students reach for their dreams? It does. Introducing RoboDesk. To learn more about this and more than 400 other world-changing Purdue technologies, visit otc-prf.org.
With the General Assembly's 2019 session scheduled to conclude in less than 3 weeks, the push to shore up Indiana's multifaceted gaming industry features more moving parts than a 1950s-era slot machine. And predicting how things might shake out, that's about as easy as counting cards at a blackjack table where the dealer's using multiple decks and a continuous shuffling machine. Joining me to explain their bets on the outcome of this session are Democratic Senator Eddie Melton of Gary, Republican Senator John Ford of Terre Haute, Democratic Representative Earl Harris of East Chicago, and Democratic Representative Terry Austin of Anderson. I thank you all for being here. It's a good thing we didn't have this discussion last week because it would have been all outdated and everything's changed. The only thing better than having our discussion today would be to have it next week because I'm guessing between now and then everything's going to change again. But such it is with the world of gaming legislation. You all approach this from slightly different perspectives. I guess you could say you all have a dog in the fight because of your constituencies and where you are in the state. You either have a casino now or you are likely to get one under the legislation as currently crafted. But it doesn't break down always that you have dogs in the fight, but they're mixed breeds, I guess, in some cases. If as it relates to gaming legislation, this session, I'm just going to go around the table. What's the one thing, Senator, that you want to see come out of this session as it relates to gaming reform?
No, I appreciate that. I think coming from the city of Gary and gaming been in the state of Indiana for over 25 years or so, Gary was one of the first communities that had a casino. With having the two licenses. And it's my hope that we were able to relocate one of those licenses to 8094, which is one of the busiest highways in the country. I believe that that would not only benefit Gary, but the entire state in terms of increasing our revenue. So if there was anything that would come out of this, I would hope that that would be one of the takeaways for us.
And you're saying increasing the gaming revenue, but also revenue that would come from redevelopment of the harbor.
Absolutely.
Into an intermodal transportation.
Yeah, one of the primary objectives is once the riverboats currently that are sitting there on Lake Michigan will be relocated out of Buffington Harbor, giving us an opportunity to redevelop Buffington Harbor as more of an intermodal facility. We have a lot of acreage of land and opportunities not to just look at it from a port perspective, but more from intermodal. We have three Class 1 rail lines is within a half mile of our Gary Chicago Airport. Close to 8094, I-65, and I-90. So we're right at the crux of an opportunity to really leverage this as a transportation legislation as well.
And I am old enough to remember when those casinos opened in Gary. Seems like yesterday. There was a little known fella, I forget who the name, Donald Trump.
Trump.
I knew it would come to me if I thought about it long enough. Senator, what's the one thing you want to see come out of this session?
You know, just for me, an overall modernization of the gaming industry here in Indiana. You know, what we have in place pretty much with a few minor tweaks was put into place over 25 years ago. And it's time now that we modernize it, either through sports wagering, locations of casinos, and taxation.
What do you think is the biggest factor, though, that requiring the change? Is it the competitive environment has changed because 20 plus years ago, Indiana sort of was an island of gaming in the Midwest that didn't have a lot of opportunities for people to try their luck. Also, you have a different legal climate with the Supreme Court saying that sports wagering is okay if states want to clear the way. Which of those factors is more responsible for the need for change?
You know, I think probably the competition from our neighboring states, and you know, because there's no doubt. I mean, the southeast corner of the state is under a lot of pressure from Ohio, and then the northwest region with Illinois. So I think, you know, those are forcing us to make some changes to help our casinos be more competitive. And I think also the industry is forcing a lot of change because there's a lot of consolidation within the gaming industry as a whole.
Earl Harris Jr., now, when I mentioned earlier some of the lines aren't clearly cut about what camp everyone's in, because you have a couple of different interests in terms of casinos in your district. Is that not
correct? Yeah, that's correct. I have the honor of having East Chicago, Hammond, and Gary being the representative for all over part of those cities. I have three.
And they all
of the
get along wonderfully, right?
All the time, 100%. And I have three of the licenses in my district, the Ameristar license and the two Majestics. So it's been an interesting, and I will say even before session started, this topic has been interesting for me. What I really have been focused on and talked a lot about, in fact, the mayor of Gary and I have had this conversation multiple times, is how do we make this so that it benefits Gary but doesn't hurt the other cities as well. And she has been very upfront with not wanting to hurt the other cities, which I greatly appreciate. As you mentioned, I'm East Chicago is where I live. So, you know, my thing is, how do we do this in a way that rises everyone and doesn't hurt everyone or hurt anyone in any specific bad way?
And there had been provisions. Well, again, this gets back to what snapshot are we looking at in terms of the legislation. Yeah. At one point, there was a hold harmless or, you know, keep whole mm-hmm. provision that would have been able to shore up perhaps some of the areas that might have been, but that's not in as of the version that came out of House Ways and Means Committee this week. That's not correct.
Correct. Yeah, and there was hold harmless in at one point, and that was taken out. I did offer an amendment in Ways and Means that unfortunately was not accepted. So you know, I want to make sure again that we don't have just Gary gain, but we want to make sure that all of them gain as well. And then we also have to be concerned about, for me, people. I mean, if there is a loss of revenue for casinos, especially Ameristar, which has been talked about the most, having a place where if the employees lose their positions, they can go somewhere so we don't have people that go home. I mean, the senator and I are in a position where we, both of us, have 300-plus employees at Ameristar that are in our districts. And so we really want to make sure that while there's a gain for some, there's not a huge loss for others.
And another person who wants to preserve constituencies and keep them whole, certainly Terry Austin. You have a racino, I guess now we just call them casinos, but started out as a horse track, then became a horse track with some slots and so forth, and now potentially will be a full-blown casino with table games. Well, that's to be determined, too, precisely when that starts. But what is your priority this session as it relates to gaming?
This is probably going to surprise people, but I think it's to protect the state's revenue stream. We have become so dependent on that gaming revenue, and the market, as John alluded to, is changing dramatically across the country. You know, it's no surprise that casinos and conglomerates are buying and selling people as we speak. And so, at least for my district, we know table games is going to happen, whether it happens in 2021 or whether it happens
in
2020.
Which is what, barring any change, that's
right,
what would happen.
Right. So. And I can remember, because I was a part of that final decision when Governor Pence said he'd veto it if we had table games on his watch. But the point is this. It's my experience that the most successful gaming legislation usually crosses the finish line when the greatest number of people are made happy. And it's like herding cats. You know, you're trying to keep the family together, and that's kind of how we are at this point. So my goal is to try to, one, protect the state's revenue stream on this, and to find a way to include as many of our gaming legislators in the final solution as possible. Because everybody has a great point about whether you do this or do that. I think the Gary situation could be a game changer for your community. And I'm
on board.
You
see it as a net benefit, for instance, what you've seen in terms of Anderson.
And also as a former transportation chair. That bottleneck in Chicago, yeah. You guys could help be a tremendous solution to it. So I think there's real merit, and I hope people won't discount it.
You talk about the preservation of the revenue stream, and that's perhaps more nuanced or more complicated than it might seem. because some of the measures that have been proposed this session, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, what's in the bill that will be called down up on the floor for consideration, is actually includes concessions for some of the struggling casinos that have faced increasing competition. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, what, as much as a $20 million hit to the state by giving them, those casinos, lower rates. It's graduated scale, so we won't get into all the particulars. Is that sort of then the notion of a loss leader? I mean, we got to prop up the industry so that it can continue to generate income long term. Is that, because it's not as simple as saying every year we want state tax revenue to go up, you know, come hell or high water. It's more nuanced, is it not?
Well, diving into the nuance of how it is going to impact the entire state, I think I have to go back to what Representative Alston was mentioning in terms of ensuring, and also what Representative is saying, is that making sure that no community walks away with a loss, making sure that we are able to benefit those that have continued to gain and also look to seek opportunities to leverage gaming as an asset and opportunity within their communities.
How realistic, though, is it to, you can't keep everybody happy. We've often used the metaphor of a balloon. You know, you press in the balloon here and it kind of pops out somewhere else. And as soon as you do something that maybe helps the traditional casinos, I never thought I'd use the term traditional casinos versus the racinos, then the racinos, who operate under different circumstances and different criteria, may get upset. Or depending on geography and the addition of competition, can we satisfy everybody?
At the end of the day, I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we say good deals when everybody feels a little pain at the State House. And, you know, I hate to say it that way, but I think that at the end of the day where we may end up is that, you know, everyone will feel a little pinch, I guess, if you will, and we'll have a good deal coming out of this. I mean, I'm very optimistic that we'll come out with a positive piece of legislation.
Probably a practical way to look at the policy formulation, probably not a good campaign slogan, though. Next time you're up for everybody, I inflict equal pain. Let's start. Might as well start north and head south. So we know why there is a push to make changes in Gary, certainly to free up the harbor for redevelopment. Also, by moving it to the Borman Expressway, presumably it would be more heavily trafficked. Mm-hmm. The legislation as it's currently written would in fact have, what, upwards of 2,700, maybe 2,760-some gaming positions, which would make it, if they're all utilized, the largest in the state. That has concerned, again, some of your other, this is where it gets into your divided loyalties or, you know, different voices on different shoulders talking to you. How do you sort through that? I mean, is it a matter of just trying to tweak the game positions to make people happy?
I think it goes back to, is everyone going to get 100% of what they want? No. But if everyone gets something out of it or is not hurt as bad, I think everyone will be okay. I mean, that's one of the lessons in life. You don't get everything you want, but you see what you can get. And if everyone walks away, maybe not perfectly happy, but a little happy, then it's better for everyone.
In an ideal world, do you want to see the land-based casino by the Borman, or do you? Would it be better for you, because of all your constituents you're concerned about, to keep the two Majestic Star boats where they are?
I'm going to answer your question
That means you're not going to answer my question, but all right.
No, I mean, it will be an economic boom for Northwest Indiana, and I'm a big component of not just the Chicago area, but all of Northwest Indiana. So it will benefit the area. The move will bring in more income. There are, 300,000 vehicles, I think, that drive through 8094 on a regular basis, drawing in from Chicago. The build-out will be a big help for labor. The build-out in terms of the casino as well as the intermodal, whatever comes with the intermodal will be a benefit. Again, I'm just saying we need to consider the other parts of that and how we hold harmless or help those. And then I want to go back to something that the senator said. You know, we're doing this in Indiana with part of an eye looking at what Illinois is going to do, because I think once Pritzker won the election to become governor, that we know that's going to change the game. At some point, Illinois is going to make some different, or going to do some different things. And since we are right there on the border, that's going to affect us and our casinos.
And we do know, look at Rising Sun, when Cincinnati and Ohio got casinos, certainly an impact spillover from across state lines. How can I put this in a way that doesn't sound crass? Do you care what happens in Gary or in Terre Haute? I mean, you're concerned about state revenue preservation. You stated that. And obviously you have a casino that you're worried about in your district. Does it matter to you if it's two Majestic Star boats
in the water, or it's the Boardman Expressway location, or that he, his district gets a, I mean, does it matter if the money's from a policy standpoint? Do you have a preference?
It's not that I don't care. I think our state is stronger when every community is the strongest and most vibrant it can be. To see Gary have an opportunity to transform itself is important. To protect, and East Chicago will benefit from that in some ways.
How about Terre Haute? Is that a good?
Terre Haute, I think, is a perfect opportunity, quite honestly, because if we don't put something there, somebody's going to, I think, at some point. And it's probably going to be across the Illinois state line, because when you look at the geographic layout and the market, there's a huge void there. So do I like the way some of this is being done? I'm not crazy about it, but I also know this thing is a work in progress. And, you know, I just say to folks, don't get too upset, because it's going to change tomorrow, and it's certainly going to change by April 24th or April 27th.
That may be the safest bet that anybody makes here today, is that there will change. We've seen change as it relates to the Terre Haute Casino. Initially, the idea was maybe Spectacle Entertainment, which is the new owner as of what, the middle of March, of the two Majestic licenses in Gary, could move a boat. Well, not move a boat, but move a license to Terre Haute. Now, as it stands in the legislation that you all will be considering, or I should say the House will be considering on the floor, they're separated. Gary's going to apparently do its thing. You know, a Spectacle can either keep two boats or give up a license, go to land, and then there's a separate path to a casino for Terre Haute. Is that as it should be?
I was a fan of how it left the Senate, obviously, with the Spectacle being allowed to move the second license to Terre Haute. But also there was a competitive aspect to that, where other casinos would be allowed to bid for that location. And I get the feeling, you know, for most of my colleagues in the House and Senate, competition is something folks want for that Terre Haute license.
And I guess if I understand the legislation correctly, Spectacle, if it were so inclined, could bid on that license.
Yes, they could. And I think it's an important piece to make competition would create a better product for Terre Haute and for the industry here in Indiana. Because, I mean, competition breeds, you know, a better product. And the one thing, you know, I think that I in the House with the licensing fees, you know, I think are a concern for me, because I would rather see that money be put into the product. Into the facility.
And we should say they were at $100 million, which caused some jaws to drop, primarily among those who were interested in applying for licenses. It's now down to a mere $50 million, which compared to what the Racinos paid, what was that, $150, $200? It was a lot more.
At one point, it was $400 that
okay,
was
now,
being floated around. I remember
and those
that.
Aren't even inflationary dollars.
No.
Those are the real dollars. Is that the path that you think is going to happen? We will have, based on what you just said, we will have competition. There will be multiple bidders. In fact, the laws, the legislation as it stands now, would have at least three bidders. They could proceed with two. They can't proceed with one, minimum of $25 million. Is that the way this unfolds?
Yeah, I believe so. There'll be competition. I think maybe the language of saying there'll be two or three bidders may need to change, just because the market is different. I mean, there's not as many casino companies out there that could actually bid on it. And, you know, an important piece of the legislation is removing of the caps, right? So currently casinos now can only own two in the state of Indiana. So if we don't, you know, remove the caps, you know,
That would prevent Spectacle, if it were so inclined and wanted to have that, and it presumably does want to have that location. I'm going to ask the question that I asked Terry Austin a second ago, and just to show I'm asking the same rude questions to everybody. Do you care what happens to the to him or to her?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I should have known the answer.
Well,
but I mean,
no, I would say, and I want to just thank everyone around the table. I think this has been a dialogue and conversation that's not just happened during session, but prior to session, knowing that this was coming down the pipeline and just figuring out what's the best way to approach this. And like Representative Austin said, you know, until the very last day, we'll have a final product, and it's going to be up to the governor to make sure that we get across the finish line. I think my main objective is just to communicate the importance of the potential of the projects that we're talking about, particularly in Northwest Indiana. you know, we can't overlook the fact of all of the assets and opportunity for development. The state will win in that at the end of the day if that were to happen inside of Gary and East Chicago and Hammond. We studied this, the intermodal potential in the summer, and we looked at the potential of working with a Class 1 rail line and helping to relieve some of the congestion that's in Chicago, because right now it takes a train, because most freight that travels east and west across the country goes through Chicago. And it takes about 3 to 4 days for a train to get in and out of Chicago. And then by us being a neighboring community next to that city and being able to alleviate some of that congestion is also a win for them. And we're able to leverage from a storage facility, from just a transportation and relocation aspect of things. So I think that's something that we have to truly look at as we move forward.
I missed the first 10 minutes of the IU-Ohio State game in the Big Ten tournament. Now, I don't know whether that's to blame. I'm guessing the rail lines didn't necessarily affect my gridlock on the roads. In the remaining days of the session, Terry Austin, again, preservation of revenue, we'll stipulate that. I'm guessing you would, in a perfect world, prefer to see live table games with human dealers moved up from 2021 to now, to this session. And you're also concerned, you had been lobbying for the addition of, or I should say the allocation of some state funds for problem gambling, 3% of the state's cut. Why is that important, and is that something that you are hell-bent on seeing in the legislation?
Well, yes, I would love to see table games go live. I mean, my community has aspired to that probably since the Racino first opened, since we broke, I think it was in June of 2008. The point is, and those are good-paying jobs, between Shelbyville, Indiana Grand, and Hoosier Park, you know, anywhere from $60,000 to $75,000 a year. So that's a great economic boon for our communities, the two of us. But also, I think it's important to include the fact that as we kind of moved, as this thing continues to evolve, and it is, I mean, we all acknowledge that, I don't think that anybody should get to, I'll be flexible. And that's, I think that's my bottom line. I've got to be flexible in all of this. And whether it's going to take them some time to build out. So, you know, I want to see the biggest economic impact we can possibly get, not just the table games themselves, but also it's the amenities that occur in your community, that will occur in your community, even if it's at the Boorman Expressway. So those are the kinds of things I want to focus on.
Okay, it makes sense. And as our time is running short here, we do need to talk about sports wagering, which the Supreme Court, as of May of last year, said states go for it. Earl Harris, Jr., right now there is no mobile wagering in the bill. It had been there. That was taken out in another House committee earlier, a few weeks back. So you'd have to go to a casino. Mm-hmm. Is that good, bad?
I mean, well, it puts in a little protection because you have to be of a certain age. So anyone can sit on a phone and do this, that, and bet. And we want to make sure there's protections in place in terms of not causing gambling issues for young people. And we also, one of the other things we have to look at is also what does it mean to sports itself in terms of gambling? Does it affect college? I mean, we've even talked about making sure we protect high school athletics. So you have to have some protections in there, and if you actually have to show up and show, I'm not 14, I'm 24 or 34, whatever, I think that's a better thing for us.
Does that John Ford, kill the revenue stream, though? Some states, I think six states, have moved forward with this, 20 are considering it, and it seems that those that only did casino-based wagering are quickly changing to ad mobile.
Yeah, no doubt it kills the revenue from sports wagering, but more importantly, it doesn't bring in the illegal sports wagering folks. So right now we know, you know, here in Indiana, it's projected $300 million plus in illegal sports wagering, most of it done on cell phones with illegal apps. And that's what we have to try. When we came up with what we wanted to do with sports wagering, the goal was to try to bring those people in. So we need low barriers. Mobile, obviously, is the lowest barrier.
All right. Unfortunately, unlike the casinos where you can go all night, all day, all week, We've got our time limitations here, and it does go fast. I certainly appreciate your being here for a discussion, and we'll heed your advice to keep an eye out for changes in the remaining days of the session. Again, my guests have been Senator Eddie Melton of Gary, Senator John Ford of Terre Haute, Representative Earl Harris Jr. of East Chicago, and Representative Terry Austin of Anderson. As the 2019 session comes to a close, we'll finally get to know where the money goes. Our annual look at state spending on the next Indiana Lawmakers. And time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight and its sister publication, Indiana Gaming Insight, both part of Hanna News Service. Everybody's getting the award for altruism, it seems, on the panel. If I had four trophies, I'd give them out. Everybody just wants a little something for everybody. How much of that is real and how much is just posturing?
Well, I think you might be surprised to learn, John, that a lot of that really is real. It's actual. People are looking to see what benefits the state as a whole. And that's almost a little bit of a direction from the governor and certainly from Todd Houston, the co-chair of the House Committee on Ways and Means, who's playing the Luke Kenley adult at the table role this year. And it seems like what we've been striving for the last decade has been what is best for the state as a whole, even if some casinos, some cities, some counties, some communities do suffer a little bit. What's going to bring in the most amount of revenue and what's going to make us most competitive going forward? And it seems like we're finally at the point now where some of the individuals who are representing communities with the casinos are willing to say, okay, you know, we think it's best to give up a little bit for the greater good, and it's going to come back to us in the end because we are all going to be more competitive. So it's really not as false as it might seem or as it might have seemed a few years ago. But yes, they are still representing their casinos and their communities. There is still some balkanization there. But there is the thought that we really do need to do something statewide.
And that's, I was not suggesting any other motives. So good to know that, though. Where does this end up this session? Everybody said this is going to change dramatically. How dramatically different will it be by the time this gets to the governor's desk?
Oh, you're going to see lots of changes. You're going to see a lot more concentration on the mobile gaming element, you know. And I think we're at the point where we realize that it's tough to be, you know, just a little bit pregnant, and we don't want to get back in the situation where we were when we started all this, where we had the false concept of riverboats. Well, if it's on the river, the mafia can't board these things. And you know, we knew that it wasn't going to be all too long before we had the open boarding and we didn't have to do the must cruise stuff. I think it's going to be the same way with mobile gaming and some of the other things that we're looking at now.
Well, when you were talking about rising tide lifting all boats, if we don't have boats, how can, well, another discussion for another day. Ed, thank you as always. Appreciate your insight. For more information, episode streams, and other extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Chuanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media, Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, and my colleague Ed Feigenbaum, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House coverage. Until next week.
Purdue researcher Phil Owens is creating new ways to map soil functions, improve plant growth, and increase crop yields, leading through innovation and job creation. Purdue Research Foundation. Contact innovation at prf.org.